Good morning, TCC. So excited to be here today. I am so grateful to be speaking on our second week of the Colossians series. So we are going right into the book of Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be dissecting some of the scriptures, the key verses found in the scripture today. And really, we're going to be using this as a way and means of a spiritual checkup for us personally in ourselves. But as we get into this, I kind of wanted to just encourage you that as we study the Word of God and as you study the Word of God, when you come up against maybe a verse or maybe a chapter that causes something inside of you to maybe bristle a little bit, or maybe it's opposed to what you believed growing up or something like that, maybe it causes a little bit of conviction inside of you, what I would encourage you to do is not close your Bible and put it away, but lean into those verses. Lean into those places where really we see God doing a deep work inside of us, healing some things, correcting some patterns, navigating us through some places in scripture that maybe are contrary to what we ever thought or what we believed. So today, I really want you to lean in to what God has for all of us in this second chapter of Colossians. All right, so let's give a little bit of history on the church of Colossae. And yes, I did research how to say that because I wanted to make sure I said it correctly. So it is the Church of Colossae. And so let's go into a little history on this. I know Pastor Richie preached last week on the first chapter. That's an amazing video. Go back and listen to it. It's on Facebook and all of the other sites, but it's an excellent, excellent first introduction to the book. But today let's go over a little bit of the history of this church. So this city, Colossae, was on a trade route. So you have lots of culture in this city. You have a city with lots of diversity. And with that comes a lot of heritage as far as what they believed and cultural preferences and things like that. And so what was happening is that some of those cultural preferences, some of those religious practices had started to infiltrate this church. And so we see what happened is, as the leaders of the church, Epaphras, he is writing to Paul, or he gets word to Paul in some kind of way that says, hey, we need some help here. I'm calling in the big dogs. I need some spiritual advice. Can you give us some words of wisdom? And so we pick it up in chapter 2 with Paul kind of giving his declaration, his encouragement to this church. And they had gotten off course a little bit. They maybe had some thinking infiltrated there that wasn't exactly biblically lined up. And those of you who know scripture, you would know that actually the Bible, the New Testament, is being written at this time. This is part of the New Testament. It wasn't that they had the New Testament to reference and look at these things. It was actually unfolding before their very eyes. They were part of history in that regard. And so sometimes we can get off course. Sometimes in our walk with Christ and just even in daily life, we can get off course. Last weekend was 4th of July, and Mom and I went out. We decided to take the kayaks out. And so we went out, and she has this house on a little feeder that goes out into the bay. And so it's a real quick little, you know, fun paddle, maybe half a mile out and you're in the bay. It's real sweet. It's a nice little ride. And so her and I decided we're gonna take the kayaks out and we're gonna paddle. And so we got out there and the bay was beautiful. And if you're a Floridian like me, then your soul just is at rest on the water or at the beach or wherever. And so I just felt enlarged and just at rest and at peace. And so we're just sitting there and kind of paddling. Dolphins are coming by. It was an amazing time. Then all of a sudden, a little bit further, probably like 2 or 3 miles out, we saw this storm coming in. So we had been caught in a storm before, so we decided, let's just head right back to the house. Let's not try and chance it. So we get in the boat and we start pedaling. And as the wind starts picking up, I notice, man, it is harder and harder and harder to keep the bow of the boat straight to where I want it to go. And this little feeder has some real narrow spots, and you can get caught in the mangroves really fast. And at one point in time, my arms were tired, so I kind of just set the paddle down on my lap. And then I started veering fast, and I noticed something, thinking about this message that I was gonna speak about today, and I thought about, man, how easy it is for us to get off course when we stop, when we stop fighting those tendencies, when we stop fighting those patterns of our flesh, and we just kind of relax in it a little bit, and we don't really get our full weight on that process. And so today, I kind of want to go into to a spiritual checklist for us of sorts for this book. And so chapter 2, let's go into chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and it says this: I want you to know how much I have agonized for you. This is Paul speaking. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church of Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. They had never met Paul personally. Remember, he wasn't necessarily the founder, but he was a father of the faith. So I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself in him. In him, Christ, in him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And my first question posed to us today for us to give a spiritual checkup kind of ourselves is this: do I believe that in Christ are hidden all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that I need? Do I believe that, or do I believe that it's Jesus and? Jesus and. That's the title of my message today. Is it Jesus and or Jesus alone? So today, the first question right off the bat is, do I believe that it's Jesus alone and in him are hidden all the wisdom and knowledge and mysteries of the Word of God, life for us? Do I believe that they're hidden in him, or do I believe that it's Jesus and? That's what was happening at the Church of Colossae. They had allowed the practice of Jesus, but also and all these other things. Think about it in terms of this. They had, the Bible talks about it, and history recounts the fact that they had spiritual practices, but not spiritual in the sense of biblical practices, spiritual in the sense that they were worshiping angels and even worshiping spirit gods, and they had some Greek mythology pulled in there. They also had intellectualism pulled in there, which is the study of knowledge over the emotional components that we believe. And so they had all of these different things, and Paul's writing and encouraging them, in Christ alone is everything that you need. It doesn't have to be Jesus and, it's Jesus alone. And so he's encouraging them. See, we've grown up with the New Testament always at our hand. We've known that it's Jesus always, but how often do we get off course just a little bit where we start maybe reading things we shouldn't be reading? Or maybe they're good books. I love leadership books. I love them. I love leadership principles. I love to read about every kind of leadership book that I can get my hands on. But if it's contrary to the Word of God, then what I'm doing is I'm putting myself in a position where it's becoming Jesus and the Bible and instead of Jesus alone. Not that studying other things isn't okay. But when it starts to infiltrate the way that we believe and we start to go, I'm going to take this principle from the Bible, I'm going to take this principle from here, and those two things may be in opposition. It may be a good principle, but it may not be a God principle. And that's the difference. That's how we know. A couple of years ago, I would say probably 5 years ago, I was training a client. She's a wonderful woman, amazing, so smart. And I really started just, you know, obviously when you're training someone, you're having conversations with them 3 times a week and for an hour each, you know, so you're really like getting to know this person, sharing life with this person in a sense. And so she started talking to me about my beliefs. And so she said, you know, Misty, you should really not just study biblical principles, but you should study other principles to make you more relevant to other people that don't just believe the Bible. And I thought, oh, okay, she might be right. And so she recommended a book that I start with. Start with this book. It's excellent. It's got biblical principles in it. Wonderful. So I looked on Amazon, I read the foreword, and I thought, okay, so the foreword is pretty interesting. It's got some stuff in there. And so I start reading this book, and I'm about 2 chapters in, and all of a sudden I noticed that I started to become very fearful. This book talked about how we are dirt, we are dust, that we are nothing, and that we have to eventually succumb to whatever happens around us, and we are powerless to do so. And it was talking about embracing these rhythms and embracing, you know, our humanity and our fallenness and all this kind of stuff. And I started to become fearful. Fear is something that I had always dealt with in the past, but through a series and a process, God had really delivered me from that fear. And I watched myself open the door to something that walked me right back into fear. And I started feeling like maybe I am nothing. Maybe I won't amount to anything. Maybe I am dirt and dust, and maybe I have no authority. And those are all lies contrary to the word of God, all of it. So I want to encourage you that when you are studying, that you study the word of God and that you understand. If I have a situation where I need wisdom, I need knowledge, I need understanding, my very first place is going to be to the word of God that I go for that. That's my authority in Christ. So my second question is this: have I been persuaded by empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense? Question two: have I been persuaded by empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense, the Bible says. In Colossians 2, 8 and 10, it says this: don't let anyone capture you with the empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that came from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. You have authority. You have been given authority. The other thing that you have to be aware of is the fact that you may hear this phrase echoed, and it's this: did God really say? Did God really say? The very first place that we hear this is in Genesis 3 and 1, when the serpent comes to Eve and says, did God really say? The intent of that conversation was not to outright tell a lie. He wasn't coming right out, oh, this is a lie. No, he created a doubt. And that's his intent, to create a doubt. I will tell you that there is no other place that I have heard this phrase echoed more than when I was in college. Did God really say from professors? Did God really say in textbooks? You have to know your authority and who you are in Christ, because did God really say is a lie of the enemy, and it's surfaced to create doubt inside of us. That lie for Eve created a doubt inside of her that thought, maybe God is holding out on me. Maybe he doesn't have my best interest at hand. And I would tell you that this is one of those ways that we get off course. When God has promised us in his word that we are healed, his stripes have made us healed, but we are sick in our body. And then we hear this lie echoed: did God really say you would be healed? Did God really say you could have that promotion on your job? Did God really say you could have A, B, C, D, F, G, whatever it is? Did God really say? Think about that in our life right now. How often do we walk in doubt because we question, what did God say? But if we go back to the word, like Paul is encouraging the Colossae church, go back to the word. It's in Christ, in his word. This is where we find our authority, in him. And then the last question I have for you, question number three, says this: do I understand that I have won? Do I understand that? Colossians 2, 13 and 15 says this: you were dead because of your sin, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed. Listen, guys, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Right there, chapter 15, highlight it in your Bible, write it on your wall, put it on your bathroom mirror, put it on a post-it note and stick it all over your kids, all over your kids. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. You come to every situation in life in a place of authority. In every situation in life, we come because of who we are in Christ, because of his nature in us. We come to every situation with a position of authority. So that means when the world is coming against us and when it looks like all hell is coming against us, we look down and say, I'm in a position of authority because I'm already seated with Christ in heavenly places. I've already been given all that I need. I'm already in Christ, so therefore I have what I need. I'm not lacking, I'm not missing anything. I have everything that I need because of what Christ has done through me. The problem is we come to the battle, we see the enemy, and all they have is yelling and screaming and arguing and loud noises. And we have the full armor of God, but we're scared because they're yelling louder. You have already been given all authority. Jesus disarmed those spiritual authorities. He disarmed them. So you sit in a place of authority. 1 John 5:4-5 says this, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you have been called to a position of authority. Don't get dissuaded by what people say. Well, it needs to be Jesus and this. We need to take the Bible and this. No, the Bible is our authority. We stand on it. And we have been given a position of authority. Stand in who God has called you to be and how he's called you to live. Don't let the enemy come at you and say things like, did God really say? Did God really say you were defeated? Yes, he did. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's your position and that's our authority. So let's go over our three questions again. Number one, question number one, to access spiritual health, to kind of give us a reference. Number one, do I believe that in Christ are hidden all the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that I need? Question number two, have I been persuaded by empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense? Have I got off course a little bit in that? Do I need to dig into the word? Do I need to remind myself of who I am in Christ? And number three, do I understand that I have already won? I've already won. Pastor Richie said this last week, maybe it was last week or 2 weeks ago when he was jumping up and down on the screen and he was talking about, we're winners! And what he's saying is, we are in a position of authority. We've already been given it. You have everything that you need. So our question, last question to you is this. So for you, is it Jesus and, or is it Jesus alone? And the only person who can answer that question is you. You can't go by what your family says. You can't go by maybe what you thought you knew in the past. We can't go by what the world says. We have to go by the word of God and our position in Christ. In Christ, you have all that you need. It is Jesus alone. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day today, God. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your goodness, God. I pray that for those of us, Lord, who maybe feel like we got off course a little bit, Lord, that you would help us to correct those places. Lord, that you would give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding, God, to pedal harder into you, to turn our course, Father God, back to you. Lord, I pray that you would also give us the ability to know who we are in you. Lord, that you have given us all authority to stand in all that you've called us to be, Father God. And then lastly, Lord, that we would not be dissuaded, Father God, by empty words of man's wisdom. Father, that we would walk in wisdom. Lord, that we wouldn't listen to the lie of the enemy that says, did God really say? But we would understand who we are and who you have called us to be. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.